There were four boys in all, gathered up close by the fire, their fronts curled toward the light and the warmth of the flames, their backs crouched away from the growing nighttime cold, which was seeping in from the forest all around them, along with the drifting smells of leaves and earth and ancient, patient bark. "You said you were going to tell us the scary story after we ate," said Bill, wiping marshmallow stickiness from his fingers on a rumpled paper towel and turning to look at Eddie with a challenge in his eyes. "The one that's so terrible awful to hear, we might none of us live through listening to it. You still going to tell it?" Ted snickered as he cuddled up to his knees, pulling them closer into his chest for the snugness of it. Bill glanced angrily in his direction. "What do you think you're laughing at?" he asked. "Come on, Bill, don't be such a dummy," Ted said scornfully. "Don't you know Eddie was just putting you on? Don't you know there isn't any story that can kill you dead?" "What's that?" said Arthur, his head suddenly popping up from a long, thoughtful study of how differently his shoelaces looked in the firelight. Did you say Eddie was just kidding about that story? Hey, Eddie, were you just kidding?" "No," Eddie said, after a pause, speaking in a soft, quiet way. "I didn't say this story killed people. What I said was that it ended them. And it does." "Baloney," Ted snorted, but then his stick in the fire snapped and he jumped and Arthur grinned. "You're just as scared as any of us to hear it," Arthur said with a laugh, and then he turned to Eddie. "Tell a story, Eddie. Let's see if we die or whatever." Eddie waited, as any good storyteller should, until his listeners had settled themselves down and gathered their attention. And then he placed his elbows on his knees and rested the point of his chin on his knuckles and stared solemnly into the flames. "There were four boys in the woods sitting around a fire," Eddie began, speaking in a solemn, measured way, speaking in a gentle kind of chant. "They were all alone. There was nothing around them but a lot of tall old trees. And it was so dark between those trees, you couldn't see a thing. But now and then, from way out there, you could hear an owl hoot. That moment, as if it came at Eddie's bidding, the soft hoot of an owl floated out from the surrounding blackness." "Wow," said Arthur, grinning with delight from ear to ear. "Just like in the story. Wow, it's working." Eddie looked at him, a long, knowing, steady look, and then he gazed back at the fire. "There were three boys sitting around a fire," he said. "The cold wind blowing through the leaves made them shiver." And sure enough, the trees did rustle with a chiller new stirring as Arthur and Bill both moved in closer to Eddie, and all three of them stared across the fire at some leaves scuttling across the empty space opposite them. "Something's wrong," said Arthur in a whisper. I don't know just what it is, but something's wrong." "There were two boys sitting around a fire," said Eddie. Suddenly Arthur stood, almost springing to his feet, and stared all round with his eyes as wide open as he could get them, but he knew somehow, deep down inside of himself, that he wasn't seeing whatever it was he was trying to see. "How come none of the others came with us?" he cried out, looking at Eddie. "Ted and Bill, they said they'd come, didn't they? How come we're out here in these darn woods all alone?" Eddie looked at him thoughtfully with big dark eyes. "We aren't alone, Arthur," he said. "I'm alone. Just me." It was true. Then there was a pause, and a moment of great stillness passed through the forest as if every living thing in it, down to its softest chick and smallest mouse, had frozen in their tracks with fear. "Pretty soon even I won't be," said Eddie, going on with his story. "Pretty soon there'll only be this fire burning lower and lower, because there'll be nobody around to add any wood. And it'll burn down to ash, and fall in on itself and die. And in the morning, Mr. Knudsen will wonder who lit and never know. Yet he curled his toes inside his running shoes and smiled a secret smile as the owl hooted again. And when Eddie hooted softly in return, the owl hooted a third time. But Eddie never hooted back because he wasn't there. And after a moment or two, cocking his big round head this way and that to listen, the owl grew discouraged and flew away soundlessly on his thick, soft wings. And pretty soon he found the mouse and killed it and ate it.